I want to start by saying I had gotten a dream, and I got this dream on March 12th. This was at 2:37 a.m., and I feel like the Lord is confirming himself through this dream and through everything that's been spoken today, including Joy's testimony. So I was in my apartment, and I saw a really big, fat roach. It was in the living room area. I chased it, and I removed my sandal to step on it and squish it. I removed my sandal. Sandal, chancla, shoe. Yep. I had chased it, and I removed my shoe, which was a sandal in the dream, to step on it and to squish it. Now, this roach was totally helpless, and it was exposed. Upon seeing it, I thought it was gross, and I didn't want to squish it. But I heard clearly, all of it needs to die. So I stepped on it with my bare foot, gently, and saw some of the innards come out, as you can imagine. Then I lifted my bare foot, and I saw that it was still able to move, and it was trying to move again to escape. And the Lord said again, all of it needs to die. So I stepped on it again with my bare foot again, and this time I kept applying more and more pressure until all of the innards had come out, and they came out on the right side. The detail in this dream was incredibly vivid. As the pressure increased and increased and increased, and all the innards had come out on the right side, I kept hearing again, over and over again, all of it needs to die. All of it needs to die. All of it, over and over again. So the vision ends with all of that, all of the innards out and exposed and done.
So in other words, it wasn't really dead. You just saw all of the stuff.
It wasn't dead until all of it was dead. And the fact that, and so I woke up at 2:37 in the morning, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I got to write that down. Ew, and I did, if I'm honest. And as we're going through the dream again, it's a roach because roaches can survive even if you cut the head off. Roaches can survive most atomic tragedies, things like that, or have we been told. And they're one of the filthiest animals that I ever know of. And there's also that fear of, oh, gross, I don't want to touch it, you know, this and that. And I think it spoke to me in terms of the body needing to come to a place where we need to get down and dirty, and we need to take the step in faith, and we need to do it because we have the power and we have the authority, and we can't run from this. Now, I removed my sandal, and as I'm looking back at this dream, I'm thinking, Lord, why didn't I just smack that thing with the sandal? Why the bare foot? You know, and it speaks a little bit to the message where Lord had taken me. Lord had taken me to Ruth. Took me to Ruth chapter 3, and it's the chapter where Ruth goes to her appointed person of kin who the Lord had chosen. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but if you bear with me, I'll pull it out. It is Boaz. Thank you. Lord is faithful. So she went to Boaz and presented herself before him in the field, and Boaz woke up, had that conversation, and Boaz goes to the next true next of kin for Ruth and has a conversation. And as they're having that conversation, the next of kin removes his shoe and presents it to Boaz as a sign of I believe when I did the research and when I read in the message, it said he was the redeemer. So there was a right of authority and of property being owned. There was like that authority, that ownership being redeemed, because that's how it was done. It's like the title deed was, I remove my shoe and I give it to you. And that to me spoke of authority and of power and of position. So in this dream, as gross as it might sound in the natural, the Lord would have me remove that sandal because I have that authority. I have that, the Redeemer lives in me, all of these things. And I would step on that shoe I would step on, you know, the roach in faith and be barefoot. And I think the fear of being exposed, the fear of being attacked is something that as a church, we need to face. And we can't be afraid of that. And I think there's a lot of fear there. And from what I'm hearing, that's a lot of that. And I think the Lord wanted to expose that perspective and that principality, if you were, and to change it, because this thing was absolutely helpless under my foot. It couldn't bite. It couldn't move. It couldn't nothing. It was there. Once it was chased and cornered, that was it. And it wasn't until I lifted my foot and just applied a little bit of pressure, and I lifted my foot, that it even tried to move again. So it had to wait in order for me to remove the pressure. And then I had to go back and finish the job because I had to do it a second time. So to me, it just speaks a lot. And I think it was really confirming. And also with Ruth 3, if you guys want to check that out, I checked it out through the message. That's where the Lord had me. I was so blessed because when I originally had read Ruth, the focus for me was, well, on Ruth and, you know, her stepmother-in-law and the wisdom being imparted there. But when I went back to Ruth 3, because the Lord was very on target with that, what spoke to me was Boaz and the integrity. The fact that Boaz did not jump the gun, the fact that Boaz showed respect and honored Ruth, as well as the lineage and the fact that there was someone before him. He knew that it was a gift from God and a blessing that Ruth would choose Boaz, even though he was so much older. But Boaz was not concerned because he knew that what God had for him, God had for him. And it's the truth with the church and with this time too. What God has for us, what God has for you, that inheritance that is spoken, that is truth, that is yours, that is mine. No one can touch it or claim it without our express permission or if we remove the pressure to claim it and to hold it.
Amen.
And I was like, yes, Lord. And the fact that Boaz had the integrity and the courage and the wisdom, because Lord's bringing wisdom a lot. He's been putting me in Proverbs, but that's the second part of this message. The fact that Boaz went to the next of kin and said, oh, by the way, do you know that there's this property that's available? You know, do you want it? And the next of kin immediately said, oh, yes, I want the money, the fame, the glory, the power. Let's do it. It's mine. Why should you have it? I want it. Because he was very quick to say yes. But when he saw the additional responsibilities that he had to fulfill with Ruth, he immediately backed away saying, oh, wait, I don't want to fulfill that, you know, birthright of continuing the heritage of Ruth and her family, because that's going to impact me in my happy space and my family's inheritance and what I want. And Boaz, the family member, he wasn't looking at the inheritance. He wasn't looking at the birthrights. He wasn't looking at fulfilling his part in that family. He was looking out for me, myself, and I. And it was clearly shown in that interaction conversation. And Boaz, because that gift, because that blessing was already hand-selected for him by the Lord, he was in a position where he could say, you know what? I will take that birthright. I will remove that from you. If you don't want to have that inheritance and if you don't want to claim that because you want to do your own thing and have that party, no problem. I will claim that and I will be faithful to that. And Boaz doesn't even mention the property. His response mentions Ruth. And the heart of wanting to do the right thing and carrying out that birthright and that relationship. And that's what God really looks at. He's looking at the true heart of the Christian, the true heart of the members of the church. And where is it? Is it looking for just the goodies or is it looking to fulfill what God has destined for us and making sure that we carry the ball for the next generations? And that faithfulness was just so, so impressed upon me. And of course, God is so gracious that, of course, Ruth has a son and, you know, Boaz is so blessed and that relationship flourishes. So it shows that promise in the midst of so much, too. And thank you, Lord. And the next place where Lord has been bringing me is he's really been bringing me to Proverbs. We've touched a couple chapters in terms of Proverbs. And when the Lord leads me, he'll usually lead me in terms of chapters, because there's pieces there to digest. And if you will give me a moment. Okay, Lord. It's not about the specifics. Thank you, Lord. It's what you want. With Proverbs, he's let me in all the way from 1 to 14 and kind of digesting what each chapter brings. But the focus that he brought was the difference between Lady Wisdom and Madam Whore, as it's written in the Message. But it's that idea of whose leading are you going to follow? Because Lady Wisdom stands in the middle of the main streets, shouting out, giving that wisdom. Who will listen? Who will obey? She's faithful and wise, as is her name, Lady Wisdom, to give that out. And I think that's where the church is being called to give out that wisdom. Just like how John said, John, you've been so faithful to this body. And I'm sure that there are others that we don't even know about in those camps doing what they have to do, trying to speak out that wisdom, making sure that the body gets the knowledge and the information fed that is being hidden and occulted by the darkness. And God sees that faithfulness. God is so faithful. He sees that faithfulness. I tell you, he sees it. And whether a person chooses to listen to that wisdom and act upon it, or to follow, you know, the seductress or Madam Whore, as it's called in the Message, that is their choice. You know, we are only responsible for what God has given us and what God has called us to do. If they choose a different path, that's not on us. That's on them. We love them enough to tell them the truth. And we love them enough to intercede and pray, even while they're walking down that street, knowing that they're already locking eyes with Madam Whore, so to speak. We are still going to love them. We're still going to pray for them, because they still have yet time to repent. Because God has been faithful in it. Because if I'm honest, there have been times where I've had my fair share of dances with Madam Whore, but God has brought me out of that and onward so that I could reach others too. And I'm sure that as this church, you know, might look back individually, I'm sure we can see the hand of the Lord rescuing us even there. So there is still that righteous right hand of the Lord being faithful. And he, not only does he promise it in his word, but even today I had a vision. And the vision was, I saw the hand of the Lord, and I only saw his hand, and it came down from the heavenlies, and he was holding a net, and this net had a little handle on it, and he scooped it up in the ocean, and I saw multitudes of fish being pulled up and outward, and there were fish of, you know, all sizes, multitudes. Many were silver in color. Many were silver and shining, because the light, once they were brought up, the light was shining on them, and it reflected on the scales. But there was a focus on one particular fish, and this was a big fish that was the color purple. And, oh, Lord, I don't remember what purple signifies, if the body can help me.
Royalty.
So it's, thank you, Lord, it signifies royalty. And, you know, just only the sovereign hand of the Lord could do it. And I just thank him that even in the midst of this process, there is still much reaping, much harvest, much fishing being done. And I think we don't understand the magnitude, just like Pastor Kim said, the magnitude of what's been given to us, or how powerful, like John said, our words are when they're released. You know, we don't know, but one day all will be made clear. And just having that assurance, even in the midst of this, just knowing that you know, which I think is a powerful thing. Lord, such a powerful thing. Lord, there was one other thing that you had me release, if you remind me what it is. He had given me a lot of visions, and yes. So this vision, thank you, Lord, you're so good. This vision that I got, I got two. One was for John and Anne. I don't know if you were able to receive this, John, because I had a conversation with Pastor about it. You had sent out the SOS text to pray and to intercede. And so I did. And Lord gave me specific instructions and I followed it. Long story short, but what's important is I had gotten two visions. Now, the first vision is for Anne. I saw Anne in the operating table. And the doctors were all around. And I saw four doves. And I saw them come down from the heavenlies. And these four doves, on each corner, they were holding up a blanket, and it was a beautiful white blanket. And this blanket was coming down, and it was coming down on Anne. and it covered her completely from head to toe. And I knew it was the Lord's blanket of assurance, protection, and righteousness. And I was very, very blessed to see that. And I didn't get a chance to tell you in person because Lord had just like the perfect target. And I think, I believe there was a change of hands in terms of the station. And I just believe the message got to you. If not, Lord told me to tell you now. So there you go.
It got to me.
Amen. Perfect timing. I was like, amen. Lord does not play when it comes to that. And then the second thing I received, this was a vision for Pastor Kim, but sometimes the Lord will give me a vision and I'm in it, or a person I know is in it. And it's not just for the person. They represent something more as well, because the Lord will give me something and then we'll go deeper. And I was like, thank you, Lord, because, you know, I tease. I was like, you know, it's like 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't know how deep I can go, but I'll write it down, Lord. And I tease. But this vision was for Pastor Kim. I saw him at a desk. It was a wooden desk, very beautiful. He was in a chair, a little study chair, and he was taking fervent notes, very, very diligent, very, very focused. His eyes didn't waver. He was right on there writing notes on a white piece of paper with his little pen. And the only source of light was a desk lamp. And this desk lamp was just shining brightly, illuminating the page, maybe a little bit of pastor's face and some areas outside the page. And that was it. So we have the desk, the chair, pastor in it writing fervent notes, and only one source of illumination, which is that light. And I'm believing that is the glory of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And there was nothing but darkness all around. And I think that's where the church is, and especially a lot of the leadership too. And those, because there's so much download happening in the midst of this. I think that in darkness, people lose sight of a lot of things. Like you said, the enemy is attacking those specific areas of the body. But I think another one of the reasons is because there's such an immense download in those areas that the enemy would try to confuse and would try to blight out and to hinder the download that's happening. But that download is so intense and so fervent, and so important. And what God has for you, He has for you. What God has for me, He has for me. Like, that plan will not succeed. And I think the frustration and the intensity going up is because it's reflecting the frustration of the enemy, that he knows, just like we've all been saying, that his time is coming, but the Holy Spirit is increasing in velocity and increasing in download as well, and especially with Passover down the line. And I was so encouraged by this. And like I said, I saw Pastor, but I knew it was for the body and for the church and all of the remnant. And I think that's where the remnant's at. But we are fulfilling still the mission. We are still receiving our orders. We are still diligently receiving and taking what he has given us. And God is still well pleased. And perhaps the focus needed to be this specific, and perhaps darkness was allowed to get this dark, if you will, in order for us to truly be able to focus and to zero in and hone in, so that when things get serious, or even more serious, to the point where we're finally going into that kingdom age or whatever the next level is, not only will we be prepared to function in the dark places, we'll be able to function in absolute darkness, because we really will be the light and we really will be one. And that's all that I have for you today.
Amen. Thank you, Sammy.